Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. It is Monday, the 11th of October. It is good to be back with everyone. Thank you for enjoying the best of shows. The last few days, my allergies have been insane. So as you guys could avoid hearing me sound overly nasal, decided to go the best of route, but we are back live, ready to roll. Next 2 days, we will be wrapping up football in the football season. Thus far, got some grades to give out. First quarter grades for the season. I know they're a little late, but like I said, best of shows the last couple of days. So we have those to give out. We'll do that schedule for Wednesday. Today, we'll be wrapping up talking baseball, talking football with the one and only Michael Caratenuto. We'll do that at a quarter after the hour. And then tomorrow we'll do a complete wrap-up of the NFL. Show info I need to give you over the next few days. Tomorrow our show will be the same time live. If you're listening to us on Spotify or iHeart, you're catching it on the download. But if you're listening live, tomorrow, we're at the same time. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we will air at 11 o'clock Arizona time. So if you're on the East Coast, that's 2. If you're in the Midwest, that's 1. If you're in a mountain, that's 12. So we will be at 11 o'clock Wednesday through Friday. So just want to touch base with everyone. But like I said, welcome to the show. A lot of stuff to get into. The good guys won yesterday, finally. White Sox cut that to 2-1 lead. And Arizona this weekend, let me tell you, I understand the Mercury lost yesterday, but they won an amazing game Friday to get into the WNBA final. ASU won. Cardinals won. The Suns have embarrassed the Lakers twice in preseason basketball. And that team down in Tucson took another L. Maybe they haven't had their walk-on tryouts yet. Maybe that's coming and that'll change something for them. We'll find out. Anyway, with all that being said, we're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located 4991 South Alma School, that's locally in Chandler. Get over there and check them out. Become a member. Get your access to the Members Lounge. When you get that membership, you get a lock in the back, so to a humidor, and access to just a great place to sit, relax, watch a ton of TVs, refrigerator, microwave, everything you need to make at home. They do serve beer and wine. If you don't want to become a member, that's no issue either. Still plenty of great places for you to sit and watch all the games. They have all the tickets, so you can watch any game you want at any time. If you can't make it on there directly, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Same great selection, order online, order early enough, they ship out the same day. All this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, but remember, if you are in-house, you get 10% off all cigar purchases. Just let them know that PLR sent you. Our call-in number is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Want to try to get a caller in before break and before we bring in Mike Caratenuto. Let's do this. Have a caller on hold. Thanks for your patience. Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
What's up, my friend? How are you?
Yeah, been quite a weekend, huh?
Wow. Bama lost?
Yeah.
That, yep. A wilder that knocked into in a Carson, Nevada. I mean, everything that could happen this weekend. This was a great weekend of sports.
You know, I wasn't really too surprised about the loss. I mean, Bama's defense isn't as been, you know, as great as it has been. So I figured it was going to happen, you know, at some point, and Texas A&M was able to take advantage of it. I mean, Bama's been giving up a lot of points.
You know what? I expected them to maybe get tripped up somewhere, but I didn't expect it to come from A&M. A&M is garbage. I mean,
okay.
And no disrespect, even though I just, like I said that. It's like when you say to someone, I don't take this personal, and then you get personal. So no disrespect, but I'm going to disrespect you. Your team has sucked all year. So there's no way I expected you to beat Alabama. There's just no way. This is the same team that couldn't beat Mississippi State.
Huh.
So, any that's why they line them up, though, right, Lou? Any given Saturday.
Yes. It happened.
It does.
And everybody, and most people doubted me, of course.
Mm-hmm. So, no, great. Like I said, big upset. Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is the first time Saban has lost to an assistant, a former assistant.
Yeah, 19 in a row, and it was ending a 100-game streak against non-conference opponents.
Yep,
or
and I'm sure it was something to
non-ranked
opponents. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep. So, and the first time they beat them since a guy named Johnny Manziel was playing QB.
Are we still going to count him?
No. Well, you got to count his. I mean, he may not have been the greatest guy in the. But college-wise, he was balling.
Yeah, and then he turned there, and then he turned pro, and then all hell broke loose.
I will tell you this, Solu. I know that he didn't have the work ethic, and he had some other demons he was dealing with. But even without those demons, let's be honest. If we look at top round quarterbacks every year, three or four of them flame out anyway, and they don't have Johnny Manziel issues. They just flame out. So look at the class. Look at the class that had Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. Jameis Winston had to sit basically a year on the bench and get, you know, recalibrated just to get another shot. And Marcus Mariota, he's just a career backup now. So there are a lot of top quarterbacks that just don't pan out. They just don't.
Yeah, I guess they just don't pan out. You're right. And Red Sox are looking to take this series if they can win one more game. Oh, boy. It was a dogfight last night, but they pulled it out. Bound 13.
That was one of the craziest things I've ever
seen. You mean the ground
rule
double?
The ground rule double. And it was. I mean, technically, it was a ground rule double. But there was some craziness in games yesterday. And then for that kid to just step up and deliver like that is incredible. And then even in the good guys game, even the White Sox game, Grandal running the first base established, you know, his baseline. And it's only an out if you're throwing the first base. First baseman was throwing home. So, a lot of craziness in baseball last night.
And in one particular football game as well.
If you call that butt whooping a football game, KC's defense is trash.
No, I'm talking about the weirdest game of the day.
What, wasn't that yesterday, the football game? Oh, Sunday night.
Packers-Bengals. Packers-Bengals.
Oh, the five kicks. That
it was weird. It was wild and it was wacky. Believe me.
Well, I love the kicker for the Bengals that thought he made the kick and jumped in his holder's arms, only to be disappointed.
Again,
that was actually quite funny. Yeah, that was funny.
I mean, four times
that
in
was
the
one
last,
of funny.
You know, eight in the last 10 minutes and even overtime. Oh. And, of course, was I able to see the conclusion of that game? No, because they didn't go to the Giant game, so I wasn't able to see this bizarre ending.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. I was watching that game, actually. Wow. I was at the Mercury game, and I was watching that game on my phone.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so,
right. The Mercury was playing yesterday. Game one of the WWE final, yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. So that incredible crowd last night. Hopefully for the Mercury, it's a better showing, on Wednesday. But I honestly expected that game to go like that. Tired legs.
You did.
Coming from Vegas. Kind of expected it.
Well, when you get to this point in the year, it's wear and tear. The one who's got the stamina is going to stand out and win.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I just think that game.
That's what I look at.
I think it was just that game, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Same thing happened when they made it to the previous round, lost the first game to Vegas in Vegas, just didn't even have their legs under them, and then they were fine after that. It was tough. I mean, I'm not making excuses, but the first game that was a do or die against the New York Liberty was at Glendale. And what is wrong with me? It's basically not at their stadium. I can see it, but
right.
I can't. They didn't play at their own stadium. Then the second game, they had to go up to Seattle for a do or die. Then they came back home and ended up having to play at ASU. So they were just, road game. Even their home game. A Grand Canyon University. That's what I can think of. They were on the road then.
Yeah,
they're getting this five-game series. Win emotional game, comeback game on Friday night, back home, and then right back to work, where Chicago had a couple of days rest. I think the series will definitely even out. I honestly, they look fatigued, and it looked like it caught up with them.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
So we shall see.
Right. We shall.
So, yes, sir. That's it. And I don't know if you heard, but
I did.
Tomorrow
we're at 1. Two my time.
Yeah, I had to change. Have some coverage issues. Take care of last week. Was all set to go. I had everything ready, and my allergies just would not cooperate. So there was no way. I don't think anyone wanted to hear me sneezing and coughing for an hour, so I figured, hey.
Ragweed season?
Let's just, it's that time of year.
Yes.
It is that time of year.
I get the point. Right.
All right, my friend.
All right, so
well,
I got all written down. I got regular time tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 2 o'clock. I got all set.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very much.
Take care of that allergy.
Oh, yes, sir. All right, Lou. Good friend of the program. Always good to catch up with Lou. Yeah, I honestly believe the Merc are going to be fine. I really do. I believe it was really just a matter of Saturday night. I mean, Friday night game, big win. You're back. They started off fine. It was a 21-2 run that bridged from the second quarter to the third quarter that really just stamped that L ticket for them, and there was no way they were coming back from that. So I think that had more to do with it than anything else. And this guy played well. You got to give them credit. They definitely played well. They hit shots. Too many uncontested shots, too, for the Mercury. As Mark Jackson says, hand down, man down, got to contest shots. Got to contest every single shot. I firmly believe in that. The shots can be made. Contested shots can be made. Harder to make a contested shot, though. So I think that's something the Mercury will definitely do a lot better job of Wednesday night in game two. Well, listen, when we come back, because I have my man on, Michael Caratenuto, big-time sports personality here in the Phoenix area. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up. because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me this Monday, the 11th of October. As you know, you're checking us out live right now, 1 o'clock every single day. You can also get our replay over at KSRN. Download that app, Apple App Store, Google Play Store. Also, you can get us at Spotify and iHeartRadio. Download those apps. Download us. The Cave Show. Brought to you by the Sports Cave. Definitely check us out. A lot of good stuff up there. Got some shows to add and load. We'll have that done. Have a great one with Amber Dixon that should be loaded up there really, really soon. So definitely go and check it out. A lot of good football. Listen, this weekend was just if you like buffets, this was your weekend. You had a fight. You had an ASU victory. A Tucson team loss, an Arizona Cardinals victory. The Suns have embarrassed the Lakers twice in the preseason. And I don't care who you are, if you get the Lakers embarrassed twice by the Suns, Suns fans are always going to smile because they can always go back.
And I mean, they pretty much just kicked their asses. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
So whenever you can do that, you're feeling good about it. A lot of stuff to get into. Like I said, big-time fight. Wilder was knocked from Vegas to Carson, Nevada. All that, we're going to mop all this up. So I had to go out. I couldn't do this one by myself. Well, technically I could, but I thought it'd be more fun if I went out and I got my guy to do this show with me. You know him, one of the biggest sports personalities in the Valley. And, of course, he is Michael Carotenuto. What's up, buddy? Welcome to KC.
Oh, man. What's up, man? Yeah, I heard, I forgot what TV show I was flipping through, and this song was playing. I'm like, oh, I wonder if my best friend's watching this show right now.
There you go. There you go. What's up, my friend? How are you?
Oh, man. I mean, look, it was a good weekend, like you said. It would have been a little bit better if I know you were there yesterday. You know me, I've been watching, and I said from the beginning of the season they were going to win it. But the sky got the mercury. But, hey, it's only one game. It's all right. People don't need to freak out. But, yeah, they're in the finals. They beat Vegas to get there. They, you know, had a tough performance against Vegas at home, and they go on the road, the road warriors that they've been all year. And they beat Vegas to go to the WNBA championship again. So, yeah, but it's one game, man. We're good. We're good.
We have slowly become the basketball mecca of the world. The NBA finals for the men and the women.
Yeah,
and
you
know what?
Right. It doesn't matter if it's preseason. Real quick, it doesn't matter if it's preseason and you destroy the Lakers, because when the Lakers fan tries to say something, my only rebuttal is that's fine, because then our 8th through 13th on the bench are better than ours. So keep talking.
Hey, all you have to say.
I mean, they pretty much just kicked their asses. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
I love it.
Is there something else? Tell me, because I saved that clip on purpose, but just because I had a feeling it would come back around.
Oh, you know, so, you're 100% right. I mean, it's beautiful. You were right to save it, and it's great to hear that.
So okay, so I want to dive into a couple things, because there's so much to get into, and I'm really confused here, and I know that you. You were probably at the game on Friday night. I wasn't. Honestly, I haven't been at an ASU football game. My team has been going for me due to all the other assignments and all the other stuff going on. But in watching the game and watching tapes of the game, Mike, I'm confused about ASU And let me put it like this. So I see one game where they get about 40 penalties, undisciplined penalties. Then I watch a game where they barely can move the ball up and down the field, but then they do move the ball. Then I watch a game where I'm thinking this is a game that they should win, and it was their only loss. Then I watch a game, and I'm like, man, that's going to be a downer. I hope they have the emotional stamina to come back, and they play well. Then I watch a game that they dominate, but they do, at the very end, pick up a couple of bad penalties, and it was all, unfortunately, it was all within one drive. And then I'm watching a team that can run, but then sometimes I watch a team that can pass. And even though they have a positive record, I'm confused. This is the one time I'm going to honestly say, I don't know the identity of this team. Do you?
Well, the stuff you're saying you're confused about, I mean, I can agree, but your common theme there is that the thing that ties it together to put them where they are is that they battle, they're coached up, they're always going to play young guys, and if they earn it, not that they're just playing them, as you know, because you've heard coach talk before, all the coaches, if they earn it, they're going to compete. And it's, yes, the BYU game was frustrating with the penalties, 100%. But they move forward, and they win after that. I mean, they hold, you know, Stanford comes off a huge win against Oregon, and they hold Stanford to 10 points. And they're getting better each week. There's always things to improve on. But for your confusion, I mean, yes, I get it what you're saying, but you're pointing out things that they overcome. And my question to you then is, when have you last time, it's been a while since we've seen an ASU team consistently overcome and win, right?
I get it, but you know, and this is going to sound weird, but Herm Edwards teams always have a Herm Edwards stamp. And usually what you know is they're going to run hard, they're going to play good defense, and they're going to be disciplined. And it seems like you haven't got all three yet in any one game. And that's why I say I'm confused at what is this team? What are they right now? Yeah, I understand they win. I get that. And I'm not lessening the Pac-12, but look at some of the teams they beat. The only
right,
game
you
that...
You can say that about country, though. I mean, look at who some of these teams have beaten. And when they play tougher games, alleged tougher games, you know, deemed by us in the media they win these games, they lose these games. But, no, I mean, identity-wise, I mean, it is a team we know that can run the ball. I mean, training was out for a few weeks, but Rashad White we know can carry the load. And I know I said a few weeks ago you and I were laughing, but, you know, for a kid that averaged 10 yards a carry last year, you know, the fact that if he averages 4, people think he's having a bad year. So he's not, but, again, cleaned up. Yes, everybody wants to strive for that complete game. I won't sing the word for you. I mean, yes, you both players saying striving for it, but at the same time, it's they do run the ball, and they will play good defense, and even when guys are out, like Kyle Soley had to sit out, their leading tackler had to sit out the first half of the Stanford game because of the targeting penalty that he got in their game against UCLA in the second half. So he missed the whole first half. And yet, ASU scores on their first three drives. To your point, yes, you're always not going to score on every drive, but the offense scored on the first three drives, and the offense didn't score in the rest of the game. The defense got the amazing pick six on the pick by Jack Jones, and then the just defying physics pitch to me to DeAndre Pierce, and nobody was there, and Pierce takes it in, as you know. But, look, again, things do need to be cleaned up, and guys, if they're ready, are going to play. We saw Eric Gentry. I mean, that kid's a true freshman, Paul, and he stepped up for – I mean, he's played a little bit before that, but he stepped up in for Kyle Soley pretty well. So, yes, they will run the ball. You know Herm – you said it perfectly. Herm does want to run the ball, and they will run the ball, and they're going to play good defense. Yeah, somebody going to miss an assignment? Are we big fans when they do? Of course, absolutely not. But it's a team that with this coaching staff, and I mean, you know, you start at the top with Herm, but you look at, you know, you think his AP is a coordinator, Coach Rodriguez, what he's done with the defensive line. You lose your best defensive lineman before the season what Jermaine Lole meant to this team, and unfortunately you lose him in camp, and you're sitting at 5-1. So, I mean, it goes to the coaching. Yes, I'm with you 100%. It's not all unicorns and rainbows. I know I'm a homer. You and our good friend Greg Moore let everybody know that I'm Uncle Homer, which is fine, but they're cleaning things up and they're overcoming. So that's to me, like I said in the beginning of the season, the excitement. And, sorry, I know this always gets mentioned last and it shouldn't, but the play of the offensive line, it takes a few games to get chemistry. And look at the depth and the size of this line and the way they're playing together. Oh, and by the way, on the defensive line, Tyler Johnson was just named the Walter Camp Defensive Player of the Week.
I get all that. I really do. And this is my school. So, but sometimes I have to remove myself from that and look at it in a way that may not be popular in Tempe, but it's going to be the truth when it's looked at nationally. This is a team, when you look at their schedule, if they get by Utah this week, with Washington State, who's nothing special, SC, who's nothing special, they get by them at home, they have a real shot to beat Washington and Oregon State on the road. They could go into that game against Tucson Tech 10-1. They legitimately could. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. And again, I'm taking off my ASU hat. I'm taking off my Tempe hat. I'm taking all that off. Even if this team manages to go 10-2 on a national scale, and I look at this, I'm looking at a team that only played one ranked team and they lost. What kind of national respect will they garner there when it comes to bowl games, which means they've got to win out and win the Pac-12 championship game just to really get a decent bowl game? Because when you lose only once, and that's your only ranked team, I'm sorry, Southern Utah and UNLV, that's not really doing it. And a ranked UCLA at the time, who now we know maybe not to be as good as we thought. I don't know, Mike. I'm not feeling that from a national standpoint.
Right, but from a national standpoint, too, and this is what drives me crazy, and you and I have had a discussion, and I know you just like to poke at me and all your fans know that because, you know, it might take a minute or two to get me going, and I try to avoid it. But on a national scale, you can say the same thing. I could say the same thing about every single school in the SEC. I could say the same thing about the Big Ten, Ohio State. I mean, look, if you just want to go off of rankings, there's no way. You know, I ignore the coach's fault because the SIDs do it. Not that the SIDs don't do a great job, but it's not the coach's fault. That being said, I look at the AP. Arkansas's two toughest games. You're saying, who is Arkansas played? Pretty much nobody. But their two toughest games, Georgia, they get voted. Ole Miss coming off of a blowout loss to Alabama. And, yeah, Arkansas chose to go for two. They give up over 50 points. Their defense is okay. And both their defenses are like, okay, ha-ha, that's a Division I defense. So don't tell me that the offenses are just so much far ahead in the SEC. Because, look, I'm telling you right now, Alabama, you know, they drive me crazy. I respect them. Struggled against Colorado. So to your point, Paul, Colorado, who's on that bottom part of the Pac-12 this year, they went toe-to-toe with big old SEC. Did they lose? Yeah. By 3 points? Really? And Alabama only dropped 4 spots. Arkansas dropped another 8, but they're still in front of ASU. ASU only gave up 10 points to Stanford, who, I'm sorry, you're not going to – you might be able to run the ball on them, but offensive line-wise, Stanford's going to punch you in the mouth. And what we saw from Arkansas and Ole Miss, they could move the ball down the field on those two schools. That being said, you can say that about everybody, but yet they get the benefit of the doubt. Ohio State struggled against Toledo, yet Oregon loses to Stanford, and, oh, we always have to put Ohio State up high. Why? Oregon should not be behind them in the rankings. So, look, everybody does it with their schedule. I've always taken your point, and you and I know that. And I've said this to you before, taking off my Pac-12 homer hat, well, Pac-11, you know, because like you said, I can't really put a hat on for Tucson Tech. That being said, I look at it, and look, every conference does it, and it's supposed to be hard. And I said it to you before. You have to go undefeated in college football back in the day to go to a BCS or now in the playoffs because you get credit for playing these schools. So when you
play these schools, you want to give them credit and you want to do all this. Well, when those schools go on to lose the rest of their games, it should knock major points off you if they lose in their conference for playing them. And look, the Pac-12, everybody does it. They need to get rid of it. I'm cool with a three-loss team winning a national title, Paul. Just like in the NFL, the Dolphins were the last team to go undefeated. I know the Patriots were close, but we don't expect it. I'm cool. Like, you're cool with an 11-5, 12-14, or, you know, hey, the Giants were 9-7, man, and they had the best defense in football, and they won the Super Bowl in 07. And it's like, cool. You don't expect, you're not supposed to go undefeated and play these cupcakes, and I get the money on the other side for these schools, but get rid of it. So, yes, you can definitely say it about the Pac-12, but you can say it about every other conference. And when Ohio State and some of these, when they don't leave the state of Ohio through the month of September sometimes, and that's just, it's a big deal because then they beat a Penn State or they beat Michigan. I mean, they struggled against Toledo for 3.5 quarters, and you're going to sit here and say that they're better than Oregon?
Well, you mean Tulsa.
It was Tulsa.
And then,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, it was a T. Sorry. Tulsa. No disrespect to Tulsa, so my apologies. But they, Tulsa had them on the ropes. And then Oregon goes into their house. And we know Oregon can recruit all over the country, too. And punches them in the mouth without the best defensive player in the country.
But,
I don't care what anybody talks about in the conference.
Hold on, Mike. Though there's again, people will think that I'm not. I didn't go to ASU, but here's why. Oregon, over their work, has earned the right to be at a certain spot. Ohio State, over their work, has earned the right to do this.
No, but see,
Alabama,
that's why I agree.
Has earned the right. But it really isn't because. I don't, maybe it's just me, but I don't equate Alabama having a bad week against A&M as the same as ASU having a bad week against BYU, who couldn't turn around and win at home against a mediocre Boise State team. Because year in and year out, we see that Alabama, when they play the best schools, they win. I mean, we see that. And then if you get the benefit of the doubt early and you're a joke, that gets weeded out. We gave Clemson the benefit of the doubt early, but we see they're just not a good program. They're not ranked. No one is counting their victories.
Right, but that's the benefit of the doubt is where I have issue, and I've always had issue, because it starts with the preseason rankings. There should be no preseason rankings. I get it for the first week of TV. It's like, oh, a top 10 matchup. Why? How? How do you know? Miami was supposed to be a top 10 team, and to your point about Clemson, Alabama destroyed them. They weren't any good. So you sit there and tell me that Alabama gets credit. A&M gets credit for barely beating Colorado, but yet if Alabama loses to A&M on the road, they drop four spots. Look, Kentucky shouldn't have went from unrated to 16 just for beating Florida, man. It's not looking at the
Kentucky's,
full body of work. Everybody else gets penalized for playing that.
But Kentucky's pretty good. Man.
Really? Let's see what happens when they play Georgia and get voted by 30. And I think Georgia is good. And you know,
Georgia's the best team in college football right now.
Right, okay, and possibly so. But they will always usually choke in an out-of-conference game, which they didn't do. And they will usually, you know, give away two games in conference to teams that, and they, like we said, and it's tough saying it should be, because look, Herm Edwards says it right. And coaches say, and people think, oh, it's just coach being coach speak. It's hard to win a game in this day and age. It is hard. It's hard to win a game. And the difference
between, I believe it.
You know, anybody playing, and I'm not saying you don't, but the difference between anybody playing, you know, When Alabama or whoever or anybody in the Pac-12, ASU, Oregon, SC, is playing in these schools that are, you know, subpar, the difference, and you and I have always agreed on that when we've talked, is the depth, because the starters might be able to go head-to-head and keep them in a game. It's just when you bring rotation guys and guys that you're developing, you know, if somebody's injured, a backup guy, that's where these other smaller schools is the difference, because starters, you look at a lot of these starters and you're like, yeah, they could play for that school because they're kind of going toe-to-toe. They just have a little bit more speed, and then the depth is what gets them because of these winners. And, yes, I get it. They've done a good job, but everybody plays a pathetic schedule. I want I want it to go away and somehow work these other schools into where, yes, they are getting money. And I say just give it to them. But I'm cool with a three-loss team. Because, look, Kentucky's pretty good this year.
I'm not. Notice this is Mike talking. I'm not good with a three-loss team playing for a championship.
I think that's... No, because if you actually play a real schedule, then it wouldn't matter. Well, okay, so then why are we okay with the five-loss team winning a Super Bowl? Because it's hard to win a game, man.
Well, it's completely different.
No,
because
it's not different. It's supposed to be hard.
Well,
it's not supposed to be
in the pros, you have a playoffs. In college, you don't have a playoffs. So the only way you can have a three-win team, a three-loss team, is if you get rid of conference. And no one's going to get rid of conference play, and you know that. The
no,
back
that's not
giving
true. You
back
don't have
money.
To get rid of conference play. You can have all your out-of-conference games because then every conference will be rewarded for playing by the way they allegedly do the rankings for playing those games. I mean, look, if ASU opened up with Michigan State, and then say the next week they played Virginia Tech, and then the week after that they play, Iowa, they play schools in the Big Ten, and all those schools are doing it. Look, if you lose all three, yes, it would be tough, but say you go 2-1 or 1-2, and then you, in conference play, you end up beating a team that beat them. It makes it more exciting. So, no, I'm tired of you having to be undefeated. I'm tired of thinking that, an SEC team just gives Florida – or Kentucky beats Florida, they go from non-ranked to 16. And then somebody like ASU who plays defense, oh, I'm sorry, they're only giving up 16 points. Well, guess what? Alabama's got a great defense, and they've voted people, but their defense is giving up more points. But, oh, it's okay because it's the SEC. When you have a person on air on a national TV show saying, on a sports TV show saying that, oh, they have a bye this week because they play Vanderbilt. He's an SEC team. SEC fans love speaking of both sides of their mouth. And, yes, every conference does it. So I understand that. But you don't get to say a team's a bye and then you have the best conference. You have three or four good teams and then four or five really mediocre teams. But yet teams out west, yeah, you say Oregon's built it up and it's, oh, SC and UCLA are good. Well, that's cool. Because you know what? I'm cool with ASU doing this. And Oregon State, by the way, is for real. Their schedule might not be the best. Washington crapped the bed in the beginning of the season. They're trying to fight back. But look, ASU is for real. They play defense and they run the ball. So I'll take chances against a lot of teams.
So will I. But I also believe in realism. And on a national scale, if they don't lose to BYU, then it's a whole different thing. But losing that game to the only ranked team is going to hurt unless they can run the table and hope to hell that Oregon runs the table so you can have 2 1-loss teams vying for that playoff spot. Otherwise,
absolutely,
we could say – all we want about fair. I was going to say we can say all we want about fair, but it's not a fair process. And so I think we have to stop saying fair, and we know what the process is. If the Pac-12 conference really wanted to, and I'm going to take this out on the Pac-12, if they really wanted to be big boy football, they should do the first step and get their games on a boy network called DirecTV, like the SEC, like the ACC, like the Big Ten, and like the Big Eight. If they Big 12, call me because they have 18. if they want to do big boy things and have big boy wear the big boy pants and be treated like one of the big boys, they can't then keep doing stuff saying, "Well, we're the conference of champions." Yeah, Bill Walton hasn't played.
Yeah, but that's half of DirecTV's fault. That's over half of DirecTV's fault.
Mike, hold on. I know we got to go to break in a second, but I'll tell you something. I'm tired of hearing that. I am.
It's true.
The ACC had a problem with it, and the Big 12 had a problem with it, and the SEC had a problem with DirecTV. Then I would say, you know what? You're right. DirecTV is being an ass to this. But if it's the only one, come on. At some point, you've got to, sometimes, you know what? A good friend of mine, Ed Smith, said, scared money don't make money. And you know what? Pay the money. Pay the fees. Because you have to put your product where it's seen by the most people. If you're going second rate, you know what? We refuse to pay DirecTV, but you can check us out on Hulu. Who gives a crap? Who really gives a crap? You don't go to sports bars and there's Hulu flying. There's DirecTV sponsorships. So if you want to be treated like a big boy, you got to act like
a big boy. They were basically looking for the same deal as, because the Big Ten was first with the Big Ten and the SEC, and then the SEC comes along and gets a similar deal to the Big Ten, but it wasn't a similar deal for the Pac-12. Look, there's stuff behind the scenes, and I agree with you. It needs to be there. You know me. I would never disagree. I'm not disagreeing with that. But the fact that they're on ESPN, this constant after dark stuff, look, fine, you want to do that, but I'm just saying, I was going to say real quick before you go to break is, look, if Oregon State keeps running it, well, Oregon plays the ASU. So if ASU beats Oregon State, and you're right, and Oregon runs out and beats Oregon State again, or beats Oregon State as well, and it's 2-1-loss season, ASU wins, and they're not in the playoff, I'll go back and look at these out-of-conference schedules. Because really, Iowa finally beat Penn State. This is how stacked their fans were. When's the last time you saw the third-ranked team in the country rush the field when they beat the fourth-ranked team in the country?
Well,
That's why Iowa doesn't belong.
I'll say this. Well, first off, too many schools do that anyway. To be honest, I saw ASU rush the court. Me is, you didn't think you should win that game. I hate it. I really do. I've become old man, get off my lawn.
I know you
unless,
have. Yes, you have. I know.
So you should never rush the court or rush the field. When was the last time you saw Duke rush the court? When Duke beats North Carolina, they don't rush the court. You know why? Because they feel they should beat North Carolina. So I don't
yep.
So you can't.
Ed Smith is going to send you a bad text right now.
I know, huh? But the Pac-12 is notorious for field rushing, court storm. Hell, they had to build a stadium different just to keep the kids of ASU from storming the field when they won a game. So stop storming fields.
Right.
Know that you've done it. But listen, I got to swap up real quick because we're going to run out of time here. I love my Devils. I do. I just deal in realism. And I just hate using the word fair. As I tell my kids, fair is a place you judge pigs and eat pies. Fair isn't real life. And that's not going to happen.
But it's not the same for each conference. And the fact that they get rewarded for playing nobodies is, again, just make it even. Forget the word fair. Make it even because they play nobodies and get rewarded for it.
You know what? The Pac-12 has to earn that. And they don't. They haven't. I'm
when
sorry.
When you're a season on top, they don't have to earn anything. It's just because it's a name brand and people are lazy. And not you. You know, I'm not calling you that because you're far from that. But people are lazy. It's a name brand. Like, oh, if USC's on top. Well, no. If the team winning is on top, then that team should be there. And, it'll all play itself out. I get it.
But you can earn that. Look, who gives a crap about what's the basketball team that Mark Few is the coach of in Washington?
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's earned their respect. Nobody gave a damn. Look, if this was 10 years ago and Gonzaga went like 26-2, let's say they went 26-4, they would say, oh, they're about a third seed. They didn't really play anybody, whatever. But they've done it so long now, they could go like 26-5 and get a number one seed because they threw consistency. And if we're really being honest,
at a conference, they have to play everybody. He has to sign up to play tough teams.
But Mike, they've done it so many years. If you really look at the Pac-12, there's only a couple teams that have earned it through the years, and that's Oregon and SC. What Herman's doing
Washington,
is great.
Can't forget their Washington.
Well, I can't forget Washington. You're giving me a run or a this. There are teams that consistently have done it. There is no Pac-12 team in the last 20 years that you could say this team over the last 20 years has been consistently doing this. The closest you could come is Oregon. And Oregon gets the recognition of it. They get that. They get the benefit of the doubt because they've earned it.
ASU
hasn't earned it.
Okay, but it's not a lifetime achievement. It's a thing. It's a single-season thing. So it's not even about any different seasons before because, look, I could put the combined records of what these other schools played out of conference and it's absolute junk and their conference is allegedly tough? No. Like, it's supposed to
it
be
is.
Hard. It's not lifetime achievement. It's not lifetime. It's not hard when you schedule somebody that you pay. Look, when Appalachian State beat Michigan, people were jumping up and down, and I was stoked because I'm like, good. They paid $1.5 million to lose the game. Good.
To lose the game. And I was same with the school in Tucson. This game, the school in Tucson played NAU to come down there this year and kick their ass. Good for them. But that's
yeah, absolutely.
Not my point.
But they signed that deal years back. Okay, I know. We got to move on.
But,
I know. We got to move on. I
You got to earn it. Year after year, you got to
right.
You got
to earn
it.
Each year. Not a lifetime achievement. Each year. What's in front of you? Earn
but
it.
You have.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. If you walk into a bank today at 18 and tried to buy a house, what would the first thing they would tell you if you had no credit? You have no credit.
Have
but
no
if you're 30
credit.
Years old, but if you're 30 years old and you've been building your credit for 12 years and you walk in, you got to get that loan. Same thing. The Pac-12 has no credit.
This is why,
they
this
are
is
bankrupt
why I love
on credit.
You could turn an orange into an apple. We can just laugh about it.
No credit.
All right. Anyway, it's their lifetime.
They're bankrupt. So listen. The Cardinals, I had to apologize to them because when the season started,
yes,
I honestly said, I didn't think they were going to be
yes,
good. Look, I was 100% wrong about them. And
I know because
I will say this.
You said I was crazy. You said I was crazy.
I had to own it like with three different guests. I didn't think the Cardinals were going to be that good. I'm watching this team play. I'm now looking at my top five teams in the NFL, and I'm going to ask you, my sponsors, I love you. We're going to blow through this break. I'm going to give you my top five teams.
Okay.
In the NFL. And you could rank them how you see fit, but these are my top five. Buffalo.
Okay. Okay.
The Cardinals.
At one. Buffalo's at one?
No. I'm just giving
you're
you my top five.
One.
I'm just giving you five. However you put them.
Oh,
I'm going to let you rank them.
In no specific order. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm just giving you five. Buffalo.
Okay.
I said Buffalo. The Chargers. The Cardinals.
Okay.
The Cowboys. And the Buccaneers.
Okay.
I'll let you rank those five. Or do you think one should be out and one should be in? Or someone else should be in?
No, man, with what I've seen on the field, I'm unfortunately with you on the five. I'm gonna put the Cowboys at five, and I know you know that's tough for me, so I could have been a homer, but I'll say this. I'm putting them at five because they're the most balanced team in the NFL. You run for 200 yards a game in the NFL, but don't talk to me about like our last conversation about competition. So I'm going to put the Cowboys at five because Anthony Brown, I think you and I could play better tandem corner than he because you can multitask and I can multitask. He can run fast really well, and he can cover when he needs to, but he can't run fast and cover. Killing me, and he did have a pitch six yesterday. But I put the Cowboys at five. I put the Bucs at four because, yeah, Brady's there to have the offense. I know Gronk was out yesterday. The Dolphins are terrible, but their overall work, but their secondary – I mean, look, Dak showed week one you can count that secondary. Now, they have injuries, and that's fine, but it's next man up because nobody else gets to use the excuse of injuries. So I put them at four. I'm going to put the Chargers at three because Justin Herbert, you and I know it. I love people just catching on. I'm not going to talk – not protagonists, but people that break stuff down and all that stuff. But, you know, college people that said, oh, they didn't know what Justin Herbert, you know, could do it. Yeah. How you feeling in Miami now? But I put the Chargers at three because, look, man, they can run the ball with Eckler. Herbert, I think defensively, Derwin James being back is huge because he anchors that defense. So I love what the Chargers are doing. And then at two, I go with the Redbirds, knowing they're undefeated because I said to you 11-6, and of course I have to apologize because I said everybody in the division would go 3-3, and they would all win their home games and lose the road games. Well, the Rams and the Cardinals and the Seahawks all said, you're a fool. But anyway, that being said, the Cardinals are two. They got the defense that can do it. Kyler Murray is, again, he's a passer. But if he has to run the ball, you ain't catching it if you don't account for him. The DeAndre Hopkins is getting healthier while playing. And then you have Christian Kirk, A.J. Green, I thought, have a big year. I mean, come on. Buda Baker, Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt. I mean, the crew. And then Byron Murphy, I'm not going to forget him, obviously. But what they're doing defensively, and Kingsbury is coming into his own play calling, and Vance Joseph, I mean, they're just on a mission. So they're number two. And it's, and this isn't an overreaction, because not because they beat the Chiefs last night, which is huge, but the Buffalo Bills, to me, are the best team in the NFL. They play defense. They have some guys out. That interception by the rookie Russo last night, this is why they drafted that kid. Josh Allen is can take a hit like a man and lead an offense. I mean, if Moss gets going too, and I mean, Stephon Diggs, he's been okay. He had a big catch last night, but he's going to get going again, and they've just goaded people. I don't care who they played. It's the NFL. They are the best team in the NFL. So your five teams, I mean – you know, I guess you can make an argument for putting the Browns there, who had a tough loss. The Ravens play tonight. I mean, they're right there too. But those five teams, I think, can go toe-to-toe with anybody.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only team I thought about hesitating putting in was Green Bay, because I don't care.
I wouldn't even put in Green Bay.
Yeah, that's the only team I was, like, on the fence about, and I'll tell you why. The one thing that all these teams have in common, and I'm going to give this credit to Dak because a lot of people don't. You have to have a quarterback that's either an elite quarterback or on the precipice of being elite. Until Dak wins playoff games, I can't quite strike that same with Kyler, but they're on the precipice of being elite quarterbacks. Same with Buffalo. They got to do some work in the playoffs, but I think their quarterbacks are playing along with the Chargers. Their quarterbacks are playing probably the best play in football. And then Tom Brady is always the outlier to every rule. I'd say it's the only thing that's better at 43 than 42 is bourbon. Well, I gotta throw Tom Brady on that list too. Because
yeah, Bill Belichick,
it really,
I will say this real quick. Bill Belichick did make him look stupid. That defense, he didn't do anything. I mean, they won the game. That's fine. They got the victory. That's what they needed. But he struggled. He was throwing Aaron passes. That defense made him look dumb.
I'll say this, and you're right in terms of that. But let me ask you a question. Let's say they had kicked that field goal. Say they had scored with 56 seconds left to go, which is the amount of time Tom would have had. You would have bet against them, getting them in field goal range. No matter what happened,
field goal range, no, but he wouldn't have scored a touchdown because he hadn't drafted for touchdowns.
Well,
he for field goals.
Right, but he wouldn't need it. He wouldn't need it to you because he just got him in field goal range. And you know what? Bill Belichick, from week in to week out, can make anybody look bad. I give you that. Look, Aaron Rodgers had a bad first week. Last week, Kyler didn't look the best. Against Dallas, until we got late, Herbert didn't look the best. Week one against Pittsburgh, the kid in Buffalo didn't look every week. Josh Allen didn't look good. And that's the one thing about football, more so than any other sport, is the overreaction. You could be 9-0, lose, be 9-1. It's like, oh, well, they've been figured out. No, they had a bad game.
You're right.
it's like, calm down, dude. They've had a bad game. And that's the one thing about football.
Right. No, 100%. I'll wrap the top five up on this. Like with Josh Allen, to me, week one, like, and you know me, I don't bet, and I'm terrible. You know, also know I'm terrible about picking against spreads but week one to me, for every NFL team, like the, you know, half the teams that win are that 1-0, that's the time for a really good team to me to get clipped is week one. Just because, you know, some more penalties. Maybe they tweaked something, you know, you saw stuff on film, but you didn't see anything from the preseason. And, you know, so week one, the Bills at home definitely got clipped. I don't take anything away from the Steelers, but the Bills just proved that, like, A, that really infuriated them, and B, who, no matter who they played, if they're really better than them, they blew them out and pressed them. And Josh Allen, to me, like, his arm strength and the way he can run and the way if he needs to get them down the field. Look, Patrick Mahomes has a two, and you're right. I'm not going to overreact and say, oh, you know, he's better than Mahomes. Look, they're both on that crazy, insane, like you're saying, elite level because they're there. But the way Josh Allen runs an offense, same thing like I feel about Patrick Mahomes having the ball. If the game's close, like, yeah, put the ball in his hands, he's going to march him down the field. You ain't stopping him. So that's how I feel about that, and I'm with you. But week one is always the toughest week for me, because it's like, you know, they did something different, and Pittsburgh's defense could ball out that week. I'll give them credit. But
They had a great week. Yep. And like I said, football is overreaction. Listen, I got 2 minutes, so I'm going to ask you this real quick. Just fun question. Yes. So only 3 quarterbacks go to the Pro Bowl, okay? And like literally have 2 minutes. I'm in the NFC. Yeah, and I'm going to just go off the top. You have Dak. You have Aaron Rodgers. You got Tom Brady. You got Matt Stafford. And you got Kyler Murray. That's 5. Which 2 do you leave off?
Oh, my God. None of them. I make him play running back so they can throw. No. Okay, so which 2 do I leave out? Well, to me, Kyler's going definitely. I'd have to say Kyler, Stafford, because I think they're just going to keep blowing up and doing things. And, oh, man, I'm going to be home. I'm going to take Dak.
You have the guts to leave Tom Brady off as a Pro Bowler.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. I mean, look, Kyler Murray has the highest percentage of completion. Brady might have the yards. Kyler Murray's been more accurate, and so is Dak. Those are 2 highest completion percentage dudes. So
you know what?
I'll go with
you
that.
Just disrespected Tom Brady for Matt Stafford. Tell everyone where they can check you out at. How can they follow you, my friend?
Oh, man. Tough crowd. Now, on Twitter, at Diablo00, going to get believing in professional basketball going. Obviously, basketball season getting closer. Me and my best friend, PLR, can have debates about conferences. And, oh, by the way, the Pac-12 was the most successful conference in the tournament last year when, of course, everyone's watching and it matters. So, who could be the toughest conference going into this season? Well, we'll get into
that.
Anyway, for basketball.
I know.
On Twitter, at Diablo00. And hopefully one day I get to hang out with my best friend Paul in the ASU football game when he finally gets there.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Only one way to send you out with that music playing in the background. Thanks for hanging with me, buddy. I appreciate you.
You're the best, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy. One only Michael Caratino. Thanks for hanging out with us today. That's my guy. Yeah, listen, though. We'll get into this more. I believe you got to build up equity. Going back to where we started, got to build up equity. Pac-12, I love you. You have no equity. Make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave, Caves with the K, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, sportscave.com. Again, Cave is with the K. That's our website. And you get me over on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Check us out every day right here live. Easiest way, go to sportscave.com. Hit the listen live button, and there we are. Or get our replay right after 3 o'clock over at KSRN. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. And then also you can follow us on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Just go to the Sports Cave. Excuse me. Go to the Cave Show, as brought to you by the Sports Cave. We're right there. Check us out. That way you get all the new downloads as soon as they happen. Listen, everyone, until tomorrow, regular time tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. Look forward to coming back. We'll wrap up the NFL. We'll wrap up the NFL tomorrow for sure, because we'll have a complete week at that point. So until then, and we'll have more Mercury, more signs, all that stuff. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. Only one thing to say right now. Temps, mighty temps, bring us all.